We're thankful again this afternoon to be with you all and to have every person on the call who joined us, especially those who may be visiting with us that are not members of the Church of Christ. We want you to know you are very honored and distinguished guest of the call. We pray you open your Bible up this afternoon for a few minutes as we study the Word of God together and receive it with meekness, for it's able to save your precious soul. And we believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right, that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary. As we'll talk about this afternoon, he died to save us from our sins. He shed his blood to wash our sins away. That same blood purchases church, the Church of Christ, only when you read about it in the Bible. So we pray you will obey today, as one did this morning. Sister Gilmore is now a member of the Church of Christ. We want to welcome her to our family. She obeyed from the heart that teaching that was necessary to save your soul. She believed that Jesus died for our sins, shedded that blood. She repented of her sins and made that noble confession today that she believed that Jesus Christ was Son of God, and they were baptized in Killeen, Texas this afternoon. Now she's on our call this afternoon as a member of the Lord's Church, born again and regenerated, an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. We welcome her to the family of God, to the visitors from across the nation who may be joining us from other congregations. You too are our family, and we love you and thank you so very much for being on this afternoon. This afternoon, I just want to take us to the cross for a few minutes or so many times. We think things are so bad in our lives, we have to be reminded of what our Lord went through to save our souls. The song said, was at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith when I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Brothers, sisters, ladies, and gentlemen, friends, I invite you to stand by the cross with me this afternoon for a few minutes. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 24, when Pilate said to the people, verse 22, he said, what shall I do with Jesus, which you call Christ? They all said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil had he done? They cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw, verse 24, that he could prevail nothing, but that a rather a tumult would be, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. Then he released Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. When he had scourged Jesus, meaning he had took him and stripped him naked, tied into a pole. And the Roman soldiers would use the flagellum, the whip, the metal bone, the fragments at the end, to whip our Lord. Were you there that day? Can I take you there this afternoon to see him beaten, bruised, and battered, then beaten with the whip, and then delivered to go die the most horrible form of death? It is death by crucifixion, where they take the victim, the one who was guilty of a crime, and they would drive nails in his hands and in his feet. The Bible says that in verse 27, the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him. He's naked. Put on him a scarlet robe. And then when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it up on his head and on his right hand. And they bowed before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of Jews. And they spit upon him. They took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off him and put a raiment on him. And they led him to the place of crucifixion. This is a place called Golgotha, or the place of the skull. They came out a man as they led him away, named Simon. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Jesus was too weak to carry his own tree, so they had to get a helper to carry him up. He'd been up all night. He's been beaten. He's been mocked. He's been spit upon. He's wearing this crown of thorns. And when they had come into a place called Golgotha, this is the place of a skull, they gave him vinegar mingled with gall. And when he tasted it up, he would not drink. And they crucified him. The part of his garments cast a lot, that it might be revealed. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lot. Sitting down, they watched him there. They sit up over his head and accusation written. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. My brothers and sisters and friends, if you stand at the cross, you'll see the one who loved us, the one who God so loved, that he sent his son. If you visualize it with your mind, he's hanging on the cross with the sign over his head. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. His mother is there. Family is there. Apostles or disciples are there. We know others are now watching him. For the last 6 hours of his life, he was hanging in that spot. And he did it for you, and he did it for you. We must be reminded in our lives that his agony, of the agony that he went through prior to his thought on the cross. I ask you this afternoon, in the worst of times, what thoughts will you have? I ask you this afternoon, if you were on your deathbed, like our Lord, what thoughts would you utter? What would come from your mouth? What words would you say? Let's see what we can learn from Christ in the most difficult time, traumatic time, painful time of his life. On his deathbed, on death row, his mind was as such that he made these others, these words from the cross. The word, what he said first from the cross is found in Luke chapter 23. Then said Jesus, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Somebody on the call this afternoon, perhaps you need to learn to forgive. Someone who can't forgive those who possibly have wronged you in your life. Someone on the call this afternoon, you need to ask someone to forgive you because you didn't know what you were doing. Christ was able to forgive those who were crucifying him. I'm asking you this afternoon, are you at the cross? Can you ask those to forgive you who wronged you? Can you forgive those? Christ was able to forgive those who spit in his face. My question to the listening audience this afternoon is, can you do that in your difficult times of life? Number two, in Luke 23:43, Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. There was a thief on the cross by him who needed him to save. Christ was able to lay aside his own suffering and extend words of comfort to this other person, this thief, who knew he was guilty, who knew he deserved to be on that cross that day. But Jesus was able to lay aside his pain and what they had done to him, and minister to this man. My question to listen to audience this afternoon, are you at the cross? Can you lay aside your suffering for the sake of others? Brothers and sisters, there are times we have to lay aside our needs and take care of the needs of others. In the church, it is important to not so get caught up with ourselves that we forget the other people worse off than us. There's other people who need us. It's other people who have pains just like you. This man had pain just like Jesus. But Jesus attended to his needs and put aside his own pain. What a man that must have been. How about you this afternoon? Is there somebody in your life that's suffering, going through something? You need to put aside your own pain and minister to these people. Jesus was able to do it. Oh, you're at the cross this afternoon. Number three, in John chapter 19, and verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto her, Woman, behold your son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her in his own home. Christ was thinking about his family. He was thinking about his mother and his brother during the last moments of his life and his time of suffering. Is there anyone on the call this afternoon who's not speaking to your mother, your father, your brother or your sister or your children? Is someone got a family member that you've been torn apart from, that you no longer speak with, you no longer talk to? Is there anybody on the call who've left your mama? Anybody who need to reconcile with your mother and you've left her alone? She hasn't heard from you. You don't talk to her. I want you to know, at the worst time of Jesus' life, he was caring about his mother. My family is important, brothers and sisters. Christ, on his deathbed, made sure his mother was taken care of. I'll applaud anyone that will stick with their mama when she can't do for herself. Is there a brother or sister on the call today who need to do more for your mama? I'm trying to take you to the cross where Jesus, in his worst time, no matter what the people did, he still was able to care for his mama. Is there a brother or sister who need to do more for your parents? Is there children on the call? Maybe your daddy didn't talk to you. Maybe he wasn't there for you. Maybe your mother wasn't there for you. But you have a duty to put aside your own personal issues and know that these are your parents. And do what you can in a difficult time to love them regardless of them loving you back. You got to love them. Is there some family members who are not speaking? Something come between y'all and your family. Who going to call the family reunion? Who going to reconcile y'all back? Who going to bring you back together? What mama would cry seeing her children who were departed, who've been separated, who didn't know each other, or wasn't talking to each other, for everybody to come back in the home? Don't wait till death comes. Don't wait till somebody have to die for the family to come back together. Jesus is his point. In the worst time of his life, in the difficult time of his life, in the most painful time of his life, looks at his mama and said, "Woman, behold your son." And he looked at her. He saw his mama hurting. He knew she was hurting. Who on the call? As I preach, I get now the remembrance of my own mama. I remember her. I remember her love and her bosom, one that I could call and talk to at any time. What was a mother's love? Is there a mother that turned on your children? Is there a mother here that needs to understand your children need you to still be mama? No, they ain't been perfect. Maybe they've done a lot of wrong things to you, but they still need it, mama. Are you that mama I'm talking about? This mama I'm talking about was there with her son. She saw him beaten. She saw the whipping. She saw the crown of thorns. It was her son. I'm trying to take a mama to the cross this afternoon. Go tell your children you love them. Let them know mama's still there and with her. Are you at the cross this afternoon? I'm looking for somebody who needs to stand on the cross. I stand there because you don't know how to forgive. Stand there because someone else needs you. Stand there because you're separated from your family. Why don't you do that? Why don't a man on the call who's a father to these children? You got to be there for them. You got to take care of your children. Are you at the cross with me this afternoon? I'm talking to that father. I'm talking to the parent. I'm talking to the children. I'm talking to families. Was at the cross? At the cross, I first saw the light. Number four, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. The Bible says about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" And he was to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Christ, in the last hour of his life, called on his Father with a lonely cry and a loud voice. Can you this afternoon, in your painful situation, can you call on your God? Can you call on him as your Father? Call on him with a loud cry. The one that you know, saying, "My God, my God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken him?" See, here's the case situation with Jesus. Because Jesus became sin for us, sin separated him from his Father. This had to be the most dark period of his life. He had never been separated from his Father. But because of us, because he became sin for us, God separated from his Son. we must feel forsaken. And maybe you're on the call this afternoon and you feel forsaken, but I am telling you, God is willing to bring you into his family. Yes, God the Father backed away when Christ would die for our sins. The question is, has God stepped away from you because of your sins? You want to say, what are you saying, Brother Brooke? The Bible teaches Isaiah 59:1-2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save. Neither is his heaven that he cannot hear. But watch this now. Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Listen carefully, visitors. Unless you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, like Sister Gilmore wore this morning, she was separated from God. But when those sins were washed away, her relationship connected with God. And she can now say, my God, my God. She can call him. That's why God gave us baptism, to wash away the sins that separate us from him. That's what baptism is for. It's to wash our sins away. And then you connect with God, and he will connect with you. Your spirit will bear witness with his spirit that you are a child of God. Jesus had to be lonely. And sometimes when you're going through life situations, you can feel like you're all alone. But no, when you got God, no, never alone. Never alone. God said, once you got me in your life, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Just obey him this afternoon. Become his child and live for him, and God will be there for you. The next thing, number five, is found in John 19:28. In this verse, we see Jesus says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane knew that he came to die for the sins of the world. He knew it was his Father's will that he died. And he went through it. He carried it to the finish line. And then at the end, in the last hour, he had a need of his own for someone to help him. Sometimes we get so much pride, we don't want others to help us. But brothers and sisters, we got to let that go. Sometimes it requires that you say, I thirst, meaning I'm willing for others to help me. Because to make this journey to heaven, we got to have each other. There's someone here this afternoon who need to stop being so independent that you come into the family of God and you let the church help you. You let others help you. See, when you don't want anyone else to help you, you're your own worst problem. When people want to help you, but you too proud and let them in your life. Sometimes when life gets so tough, you don't know what's going on in your life. Seems like everything is crumbling around. Seems like you're in that horrible pit. You don't know how to get out. You got to look. You got to listen for others who are crying out to help you and let them in your life. Is there someone this afternoon who's at the cross with me and you just need to let go of your pride and say, y'all know, people have been reaching out to help you. Y'all want to be helped now. That's what Jesus says. I thirst. And number six, in John 19:30, at the cross Jesus therefore had received the vinegar. He said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Christ made it to the finish line. Christ endured to the end of his life. It was at the cross, where he finished. It will be at our cross that we will finish. See, all of us have got a cross to carry. We all got a cross, a burden to bear, our life. We're going to all have problems, pains, situations, burdens at Calvary. We will have agony in this life. We will have losses in this life. We will have grief in this life. We're going to have physical problems in this life. We have sicknesses in this life. But there is a finish. There is a line at the finish of life or death. It's the finish. Is there someone on the call? I got you at the cross. And you're setting yourself up to say, like our Lord did, I finished my journey on this earth. Here's why I'm saying that. I know of a man named Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, who made his journey through life, who was in a cold dungeon, who was beaten with whips, who took the pains of life, and he made it to the end. And he wrote to a young man named Timothy. And verse 6, 2 Timothy 4, the Apostle Paul said, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Here we go. His life's journey requires a fight. I have fought a good fight. The good fight is the fight of faith, the fight of belief, the fight with God. He said, I have finished my course. Your course of life is with God with you. You don't want to finish this course without God on your side. And he said, I have kept the faith. Which means I know who I fought for. I fought for God. I finished the course of life with God on my side. And the reason I know that is I kept the faith. Paul knew that he had to do what we have to do. As if God said it, we do it. If God say baptize, we get baptized. If God say one church, we preach one church. If God say take communion every Sunday, we take communion every Sunday. If the Lord say give at that time, we give. If the Lord said we are the symbol, we assemble. If the Lord say we worship on the first day of the week, we worship on the Sunday. That's the first day of the week. What are we doing, Brother Brooks? What are we doing? We're following the faith. We're keeping the faith. We preach the truth without addition or subtraction. That's keeping the faith. We don't add to it, and we don't take from the Word of God. But our faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17, hearing by the Word of God. Paul then closed his discourse with this young man. He says, henceforth, since I've done all of that, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but all of them. And love is appearing. Don't give up, brothers and sisters. Is there somebody on the call this afternoon? Now I'm encouraging you to get up, take your cross, because you got a crown waiting on you. You got to fight. You got to finish your course. And you do that by keeping the faith. And number 7, in Luke 23:46, as I close, his last recorded thought from the cross is found in Luke 23:46. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Having thus said, he gave up the ghost. Jesus was prepared to die, understanding that his spirit will return to God. Yours will return, mine will return at death. That's called life. Are you prepared this afternoon for your spirit to return to God? Can you say to your Father in heaven, into thy hands I commend or commit my spirit? Yes, the Bible teaches us in Ecclesiastes chapter 20 that we'll return to the dirt, or from the dust we will return, and our spirit will return to God. Okay, but brothers and sisters, it's not the spirit that you're concerned about. It's yourself. Because the soul will live longer. And if you're ready to commend or commit your spirit to God, your life back to God, and allow your body to go back to the dirt, then remember, you have to make preparation to save what will live on in eternity, and that will be your soul. Save your soul from this untoward generation. As I recap this afternoon, somebody on the call need to come to the cross. It was at the cross, when I first saw the light. Well, you need to come to the cross this evening to learn to forgive and to be forgiven. And let me remind everyone, some of us are our worst enemies. We don't forgive ourselves. No matter what you've done in your past, when God said your sins I remember no more, You don't have to live on with that guilt. Just let it go. Believe God and live your life. Or you have to cross with me this afternoon. Someone on the call this afternoon need to come to the cross for words of comfort. As the thief needed someone to be there for him, so do you need someone to comfort you in times of your pain. Are you at the cross this afternoon? Do you need to come near the cross to reconcile with your family? Did I touch somebody about your family? You love your mama. You love your dad. You love your family. Are you at the cross this afternoon? Yes, you've been through some things. Yes, you're going through some pains. But can you remember that's your family? Somebody at the cross this afternoon, they need to come near it because sin is separating you from God. And you need to call, my God, my God. But because you know there's willful sins in your life, you can't call on God. The Bible says, this we know, God heareth not a sinner. But if any man worship God, he got to come to him. If you go worship God, you got to worship him in spirit and in truth. You must be a true worshiper in order to worship God. Number five, is there somebody at the cross this afternoon that need to let others help you through your situation? You got to let go of your pride and let the people who are trying to help you into your life. Are you at the cross this afternoon? Are you at the cross with your situation? There are others like Simon or Cyrene who will bear the cross for you. There are others who will bear your burdens. The Bible teaches us in Galatians chapter 6, if any man, verse 1, if any man is overtaken in the fall, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Maybe you're at your last point. Maybe you're about to give up. Reach out to somebody. Talk about it so that you don't leave. So you don't lose your soul. Don't give up, my brother. Don't give up, my sister. It's not time. You're not ready yet because you haven't crossed the finish line. And that takes me to my next point. Somebody on the call need to come near the cross because you're about to give up and not finish. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't give up. Don't throw in the hat, as they would say. Hang your hat on Jesus. See him on the cross. He's there for you, calling you. The Lord is calling you. God is calling you. Jesus is standing there calling you. Come to me. All you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. It was at the cross, my first other life. And lastly, is there someone this afternoon that I need to remind? That there is going to come a time when your spirit will return to God. You want to be in a situation that you know your life is right with God, because that could be tonight. Tonight could be your call of death. But will you be able to say, into your hands I commend my spirit? You say, Brother Brooks, I'm not ready to die. Well, then, once you get your life right, once you ask God into your life through obedience to him in the gospel, the young lady did this morning. Become a member of the Lord's church. Be baptized today. No matter where you are in our listening audience, we can bring you in touch with brothers and sisters across this nation. No matter where you're listening, we'll find someone to get you to the baptism pool, and you get your sins washed away, and then you can say into your hands, I commend or commit my spirit back to God. And when you do that, you say, Brother Brooks, I want to do that. I want to do what you come by hearing. Hearing what? The story of the gospel that I told this afternoon. How Jesus died for your sins according to the scripture. How he would bury it in a borrowed tomb and resurrect the earth on a Sunday morning. According to the scripture, all this happened. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Number two, you believe it with all of your heart. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith is impossible to please him. He that come to God must believe. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not only you must hear, you must believe the word of the gospel. You must believe that he did hang on that cross without ever seeing it with your eye. As Peter said to them in Acts chapter 15 and verse 7, when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brothers, you know how that a long time ago, good while ago, God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear, listen to it now, the word of the gospel, and believe. You got to hear the word of the gospel, the good news that God didn't want to save you, and believe. Number three, you got to repent of your sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you your name, but except you repent, you're going to likewise perish. God is not willing that any should perish, but all of us must come to repentance. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that we perish. He's waiting on you to come. He wants you to come. Wants you to come this afternoon, repenting and making your noble confession. You believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. Just hit 5-star on your phone at the end of this call, at the end of my sermon. And you do like Sister Gilmore did. Say, I'm ready. I'm in Killeen. Let us know where you are. We will make sure we get the man of God to you. And they will further teach you and baptize you today. And so you got to make that noble confession before me. It's your decision. We want to do it. We want to help you. And perhaps if you're on the call this afternoon, you're already a member of the true church. You know the church. But somewhere in this lesson, you had left the cross. Somewhere in this lesson, you forgot the cross. Somewhere in this lesson, I'm appealing you. I'm appealing to you to come back to the cross. Why, Brother Brooks? It was at the cross, where I saw the light. If you want to come, please, as we sing, the invitation tone, hit 5-star on your phone, rededicate your life, recommit your life, restore, reach out to be saved. Let us know what we need to do to pray for you. Let us do it as together we sing the song of encouragement.